Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Ladies and gents, All Thing Covered listeners and viewers, once again, we back at it. Outstanding show for you guys. And listen, if you're a fan of quality defensive play, this is the show for you. If you're a fan of sacking the quarterback, this is the show for you. And when it comes to Dallas Cowboy fans, oh man, I know you guys are ecstatic about this show. This guest, second round pick in 2014 out of Boise State, 8-year NFL pro, 2-time pro bowler. He's almost at that 50 sack number, 48 and a half sacks on his career. He just signed a nice deal by the Dallas Cowboys. No other than DeMarcus Tank Lawrence. Join us here, All Things Covered. Pat P, Brian McFadden. Tank, how you feeling?
Feeling great, man. Glad to get my deal done. Glad to, be able to come back to the Dallas Cowboys and go for another ring. I mean, not another ring, but you understand, going on this journey of chasing this ring. So being able to, have the opportunity to finish and do the, deed in Dallas, that's all anybody can ever ask for.
Yeah. What was the feeling like for you? A lot of fans were a bit unsure, not knowing if they would be able to give you an extension. But when you finally got word what the numbers looked like, and of course you and your representation were all in for it, what was the feeling?
I mean, shoot, man, just going through those, last couple of weeks, man, it was very stressful, thinking got to move my family, kids, got to get set up, new schools, all that mess. So, being able to, sit down with Steven and, talk face to face, man to man, and understand what they was having problems with, and also understanding what I needed out of the deal and, what I was worth. So being able to come to that understanding and they agreed on it, that was the best news I can ever get,
Was there a point where you thought you would be playing elsewhere?
Yeah, I mean, this week,
Really? Wow.
Everything goes down this week, with the releases, trying to get the cap space for your teams that you want, or, trying to grab the players that you want in this free agency deal, I thought, if they can't get my number down, or if I can't get my, 30 mil guaranteed over 2 years, then shoot, I'm out the door, Yeah. And yeah, so being able to, get it done, shoot, and just being able to stay in Dallas, boy, I'm in a good place.
Yeah, man. All right. We can all tell that you're in a good place. And like you said, you went through a range of emotions today, obviously signing the deal, making it an official today, but also some other news came out of Dallas that ended up going out to Denver. Your counterpartner, Randy. So what was your emotion when you first saw that he signed with you guys, then end up, initially signing with you guys, then end up going over to Denver?
Right. Yeah. So actually me and my boys was in the weight room, lifting weights this morning, and, we get the news, Randy don't sign back with us, so we all, in a crump, whatever. So, I got in the car, and I'm driving home and my agent called me. He's like, damn, bro, you lost Randy. I'm like, man, what you talking about? He's like, he gone to Denver. I'm like, huh? Like, I could have sworn he just told me Randy was up there signing his contract. Like, You gotta be kidding, So, like I said earlier, all this craziness with the free agency and, they always putting out speculations of what they think going on or what they hearing, so. All I can say is, best to Randy, man. I appreciate, the friendship, the teammate that he is, and, being able to play with him all those years. I just wish him the best, and I'm just glad he got paid.
And would you welcome a Von Miller to Dallas? Although, you know, we know that he's a free agent and we all know that it's a lot of cap space that needs to be worked out or whatever. But would you welcome a Von Miller to Dallas?
Of course, pal. You know, anybody, you know, that's going to help, you know, us get to the level that we need to play at. And that's Super Bowl level. And, you know, Von capitalized twice, you know, on winning the Super Bowl. And, you know, he's a great defensive end. I mean, shoot, man, we'd be lucky to get Von, you know, happy to play with Von, and we'll see what's up.
Yeah, I mean, that defense, if you guys can add a guy like Von Miller, especially the last time we saw Von, he's still sacking Joe Burrow. Then you got yourself, you got Parsons, you got Diggs in the back end. Whew, boy, yeah. You Parsons and Von and yourself, man, that's a trifecta when it comes to rushing the passer. So y'all boys going to be fighting to get sacks if that happens.
Dude, that's the best way to do it, you know. Shoot, if you ain't got no competition, you ain't gonna work hard enough, you know, in order to get there. So, shoot, and then plus the first man always the man that missed.
No question. People don't realize that. Well said. Well, when you look at the business side of things, when it comes to NFL and the roster, the personnel, you see new faces and new places all the time. But how challenging was it for you guys to lose a guy like Amari Cooper based on just the business?
You know, it's very hard, you know, thinking you have the recipe, you know, to be a Super Bowl team and then losing a key piece on your offense. Shoot, I mean, it's very hard. Now, you know, you look at it as like, are we in a rebuilding stage or, you know, what pieces are we missing, you know, whatever. But, you know, deep down, you know, there ain't no place, you know, for me to, you know, sit here and worry. My job is only to, you know, get better and help the guys that's around me get better, you know, because, you know, at the end of the day, even though, you know, Mari's a brother, a teammate, you know, shoot, sometimes we have to, you know, part ways and, you know, go on our own journeys, you know. So shout out to Amari, you know, man, you know, keep doing your thing, you know. But shoot, at the end of the day, like, only thing we can do is, you know, keep getting better with the guys that surround us.
Yeah. And Amari is definitely one of the lead best route runners in by far, you know, had the opportunity to go
against him. By far.
Yeah, by far. So, well, before we talk about your current days in Dallas, we're going to go backwards a little bit. Describe the culture shock you experienced growing up in South Carolina, then going to Kansas for JUCO, then to Boise State. How was that?
Yeah, man. So, you know, growing up in small city of South Carolina, I mean, it was peaceful. It was peaceful, but also lonely. You know, so, you know, I grew up in the woods, you know, by myself or whatever. Both of my siblings are older than me. So, you know, shoot, I had to thug it out by myself in the woods or whatever. But that's how I learned to actually pass rush, you know, just running through the woods, you know, dodging the trees, spinning on the trees, you know, doing cross chops on the trees, whatever.
At what age were you doing this?
I was doing it ever since like 15, you know, wow, once really? I started high school football. Yeah. So, you know, that's how I learned how to pass rush. Just being in a 2A small area and not, you know, having the right grades coming out of high school, I had to take the JUCO route. Mm-hmm. And when I went to Boise in Kansas, that was a real culture shock. You know, first time being away from mom and dad. And also, shoot, like, you know how JUCO goes. Like, it'd be top talent at JUCO, but, like, them boys don't got into some deep, you know, deep stuff down the road. So it's like, we got players from Florida, South Carolina, you know, D1 players that's out there that you got to compete with for a job. So back in 2010, they only had 11-man out-of-state rule where only 11 players out-of-state can play every year. Mm-hmm. So I had a red shirt my first year because I had this guy named Cornelius Carradine in front of me. And, you know, he went on to go play for Florida State and then San Francisco 49ers.
Yep. Tank, defense end.
Yeah. So yep. Tank was in front of me. So yeah. Y'all know everybody called me Tank too, right?
No. Yeah.
Exactly.
I didn't know y'all was in the same JUCO.
Yeah, he was in the same JUCO. So that's why I had the red shirt that my first year, because he was in front of me and they only put 11 men. So he basically filled my position. They was like, man, you're gonna have to chill. You know, so they was like, yeah, man, shoot, you ain't no starter, man. So you're gonna have to give up that name, Tank. Nobody can call you Tank no more. So they're calling me Lil Tank. You know, you shoot, you know, somebody trying to look, man, you really will piss you off. You know what I mean?
It's an insult.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, that made me go even harder. You know, my first offer was from Boise State before I even played, you know, one game at Butler. Mm-hmm. And, you know, shoot, I was like, man, shoot, man, that's love right there. Like not being able to see, you know, my talent on display, but also, you know, showing the courage and the faith in me in order to give me a scholarship, you know, all back, you know. So I was like, all right, cool. You know, like that's probably number one where I'm going to go, you know. But once I started getting them offers in from, you know, Miami, Tennessee, you know, Oklahoma, all them, shoot, you know, boy, eyes got big. So, but what really stood out about Boise is the head coach going down to South Carolina and Chris Peterson visiting with my mom and dad and, you know, really explaining to them what he was, you know, working on up in Boise and trying to, you know, make men out of the players instead of, you know, just trying to use the players to, you know, get his shine. You know what I mean? So, you know, that really felt good with them. And, you know, shoot, I was like, all right, bet, you know, Boise loyal, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, they're going to do the right thing by me. And shoot, I was headed to Boise after that. But shoot, man, I think Kansas really set it off for me. Once I went to Kansas and seeing the coach out there, I was like, shit, can't get worse than this. You know what I mean? So, you know, wherever I'm at, I'm just not going back to South Carolina. I'm telling you.
Hey, no doubt. Cool story. Cool story. And because of your success in both locations, there at Butler and at Boise, you get drafted in the second round by the Cowboys. So your first year with the Cowboys, you were essentially replacing a guy that shares this your name in DeMarcus Ware. Did you feel any pressure coming in after DeMarcus Ware left?
Oh, of course. Shoot. You know, I think that's probably, you know, one of the reasons that, you know, I broke my foot my rookie year. Mm-hmm. Coming out in training camp, you know, just I feel like not totally prepared, you know, for that moment. And meaning like as a rookie, you want to go in free, you know, being able to, you know, be the player that you want to be.
Yeah.
You know, so once they see you as replacing somebody and filling their shoes, you know, especially a caliber player like that, you know, shoot, you ain't got no room to, how I want to put it, you ain't got no room to fail, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's either, you know, get down or lay down, you know what I'm saying? And I wasn't totally prepared for that mentally,
yeah.
You know? So, you know, being able to be in that position, you know, also, you know, helped me build, you know, my character and my mindset to where I am now of, you know, going out there and just dominating, understanding that it ain't no such thing as fear. You know, it's something that we create, you know, ourselves, but also just understanding, like, I'm that guy, you know, and anybody that lines up in front of me is going to get it regardless. So once I figured that out, it was all great, you know, after that.
And with you saying you've been the youngest of three, where did you get that mentality from? Did that come from your mom, your dad? Your boys you grew up with, like, where did that mentality come from?
I really thank my dad, you know, just being able to watch him grow up, you know, I really understood, like, shoot, how a man, you know, supposed to stand firm, you know, understand, you know, what he's talking about, and also understand, you know, what he wants out of life, and don't take nothing, you know, don't take no stuff from anybody, you know, understanding that, you know, you are king of your own world and you make it what it is.
Right. And speaking of your rookie season, that playoff game against the Lions, how did you mentally bounce back from nearly sealing the game with the fumble recovery to actually sealing the game with a sack fumble recovery?
Yeah. So, you know, that was wild, you know, being able to just be in that moment, you know, and it's, you know, after a couple of seasons, you look back on those moments, you're like, I really don't even remember, you know, the joy that I had in that moment, but, you know, I understand it every time I see it, right. You know, so looking back on that moment, man, you know, I mean, it's really special because, you know, I feel like, you know, that's why I learned how to be resilient, you know, not having, you know, the highs and lows, the concepts of a game, you know, understanding that, you know, even though, you know, I messed up, you know, I made a bad play, the game was over, I should have laid down, you know, even though that happened, you know, I still had the opportunity to go out there and, you know, make a change. You know, so once I got through that and understood, like, you know, I can be resilient, you know, still go out there and make a change, make a play, shoot, I was good after that. But just making a play, shoot, it was a dope experience for sure. As a rookie, especially, you know, coming off that foot injury, like, shoot, it was a big moment for me because, you know, I'm still out here trying to feel D-wear shoes, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's get to the next week during that postseason run for you guys. It's been over 7 years, right?
What, Dez caught it?
Yeah, it's been over seven years and people still having arguments in barbershops. You know, was it a catch? Was it not a catch? One of the more controversial plays in NFL history, to say the least. But what are your thoughts on that Dez Bryant catch that was called a no catch? What are your thoughts on that? And it's a two-part question. What are your thoughts on the catch that wasn't called a catch? And would you guys have beaten Seattle the following week?
See, this is the pain. I had to live through this pain, you know, of Dez caught it. And, you know, also going through my ups and downs of that season. And then, you know, being able to make it to the playoffs as a rookie and having the opportunity to win a Super Bowl. As a Dallas Cowboy, it's like, shoot, like I could have retired after that year, you feel me? You know, so, you know, man, but I feel like he caught it, but you know, I feel like the next week, a similar situation happened, you know, and they called it a catch.
Yes. Yes, they did. So,
you know, so, you know, at the end of the day, man, we can say what we want to say. You know, we know how politics work, yep. You know, but at the end of the day, all we can do is just play the game that we love.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And, well, you know, speaking of, you know, your Dallas Cowboys, 2 years later, you guys were led by the fourth rounder rookie, Dak Prescott, to a 3-3 record before falling to the Packers in the playoffs again. Did you notice something special from Dak right away?
Oh, of course.
I'm sorry, that was 13-3, not 13-3.
Yeah. But, of course, you know, just his demeanor, you know, how he carried himself. You know, shoot, just understanding the offense, you know, as a rookie and being able to control it, shoot, man. And then plus, you know, his bond with Zeke, you know, and the wide receivers, his connection, you know, with those guys. So, you know, as a quarterback, you know, you really need those things, you know, great communication, you know, connection with your running back and receivers, offensive line. And, you know, Dak had a total package, you know, you know, you wouldn't expect that, you know, from a, you know, a light-skinned guy, you know, you would think that he's got, you know, but, you know, he got some swagger to him, man. And, you know, you need that, you know, especially, you know, controlling an offense or a defense, you know, or a group of men, you know what I'm saying? Ain't nobody going to listen to no square.
Right. You feel? So, and you had an opportunity to play against one of the, what I think is, obviously, he haven't played a ton of ball, but when he was in there, he put up great numbers with Tony Romo. What was the, I guess, the biggest difference in the locker room between Dak and Tony? Because we know Tony was a football guru, knew the game in and out. As we know, a great locker room guy, can put the ball wherever. But was there a difference between those two in the locker room?
I mean, not necessarily, because Tony will hang out with you too, you feel me? Yeah, so I just say more vocal. I say Dak is, you know, more of a vocal leader in the locker room, you know, and you know, making sure we spend the time with each other, you know, as a team, and you know, shoot, just understanding his players. I feel like, you know, Dak, you know, me personally, Dak is, you know, a better captain, you know, because I don't spend more time with him. Also, mm-hmm. I only got to spend like what 1 or 2 years with Tony.
Yeah,
you know, Tony clicked up by then. You feel me? He got
and he was a young pup at the time.
Dez, yeah, he got all them boys with him. So shoot, I was late to the dinner table.
Yeah. So hey, so Tank, let's transition to individually for you. 2017, that was your breakout season. 14.5 sacks, all pro appearance, major first Pro Bowl. You finished fourth in the Defensive Player of the Year voting that year. What clicked for you?
So actually, funny story. You know, I decided that year I was gonna go down to Florida and train with my boy, his name Ken Bishop. Mm-hmm. And shoot, he was taking me to this little college, you know, I forget where it's at, but little college like right outside of Miami. I'm like, man, what are we going to this college for, man? She trying to, you know, look at little girl's son. He's like, nah, bro. you know, Pat P Dad be training up here. I was like, okay. You know, so I got up there, you know, and I started training with your dad at Bushfit. Bushfit got my speed right, you know, my agility right, and shoot, man, it was just, you know, better for my body, you know what I'm saying? And you know, being able to bend the edge, you know, and shoot, use my speed and power how I wanted to, shoot, I had the whole package that year, you know. And you know, shout out to your pops, man, shout out to Bushfit, you know, for, you know, helping me out, you know. And shoot, That was one thing, you know, that all season workout. Mm-hmm. I changed that regimen, and then shoot, just understanding like shoot, third year, shoot, this the money year. This year make you or break you. You know what I'm saying? And so being able to understand that, and also, you know, get the proper training that I got. Yeah, I was in there.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of that. I knew exactly what college you're talking about too. But I can't think of it. It's right there. It's in front of an airport.
Yeah.
It was in Miami?
Yeah. I can't think of the name of it. But I know exactly what you're talking about, Tate.
Already.
But what was your...
Used to pull up with the truck.
Yeah, the black F-350.
Yeah, absolutely.
But what was your experience like playing under the franchise tag? And what kind of relief was it getting a long-term deal, not having to worry about playing on a one-year deal? Mm-hmm. And also, two-part question, what was it like negotiating, you know, your life-changing deal with the Jones family?
Yeah, so
real quick, I saw he probably wasn't negotiating your deal when he was in the Bahamas, because I saw him on his yacht out there at in Albany.
When? Back then?
Last week, your boss.
Nah.
Talk about Jerry?
Yeah.
Hey, bro, I'm going to tell you about this story, but, you know, we keep it under wraps until later.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Franchise tag. So I got franchise tag my first year. And with that, you know, I feel like that was one of the most stressfulest, you know, years ever, you know, and the reason they call it the franchise tag, because you're on a 1 year, you know, exclusive deal. You know, after that, you're a free agent all over again. So, you know, I had, you know, the concept of basically I'm 1 foot in, 1 foot out.
Yeah.
You know, so now, you know, I fell into not being disciplined enough to understand that I was living my life like that also. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, that's how I was going all around, 1 foot in, 1 foot out. You know, and not understanding that in order to, you know, get the total results that you're looking for, you know, out of something, you got to be all the way in.
No question.
You know, so like, you know, I'm thinking like, all right, you know, shoot, I don't have 14.5 sacks, you know, now I go get double digits. Shoot, if I can do 14.5, shoot, I probably can beat the record, you know. So, but I'm like, well, shoot, like, I don't want to actually give them everything that I got, you know what I'm saying? Because I get this number, then they ain't going to do nothing but let me go to be a free agent. You know what I mean? Because they can't afford me.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, what should I do? You know, and I was basically confused, you know, and, you know, being able to have a coach like Coach Marinelli, you know, to let me know also, you know, that sometimes, you know, greatness calls us, you know, out of the dark, and it's up to us to step up as a man to, you know, fulfill our dreams. So I was, you know, scared, you know, that I was like, man, I'm about to sit here and try to, you know, win a Super Bowl for this team, and then they ain't gonna do nothing but let me go be a free agent, you know. And after that year, you know, being able to, you know, have an off season and then talk to Stephen Jones. So I'm actually in San Diego, and my agent calls me around this time 4 to 5 years ago. And he was basically, yeah, man, the Cowboys ain't trying to, you know, give you 100 mil. You know, they trying to give you this number or whatever. I was like, man, look, you know, tell Mr. Jones, you know, like, my phone is open. Like, if we going to get the deal done, you know, give me a call, you know. So he gave me a call, you know, so I'm talking on the phone with him. And he was
Steven or Jerry?
Steven. Okay. He's like, yeah, D-Law. You know, man, we got to pay Dak next year. We got to pay Amari this year, Zeke. You know, we got all these guys to pay. You know, and I don't know, something in me was like, man, you got to tell them the truth. You know, and I was like, man, Steven, you know, that's the lay of the land. Like, I got a job to do and you got a job to do. That's your job, you know. So, you know, I feel sorry that you got to handle these responsibilities. But, like, if you want me to play for you, you know, these are my numbers, you know. And he's like, well, hell, DeMarcus, you asking for this much. Do you even really want to be a Cowboy? And, you know, I had to explain to him, like, man, look, man, I'm trying to build my legacy here in Dallas. You know how much, you know, the Dallas Cowboys mean to me and all. But if you can't sit here and agree, you know, to something like this when I don't start here and stress myself out years upon years and then, you know, show you that I'm worth the money. You know, and if you can't do it, it's all good. You know, just let me go somewhere else. And he was like, all right, hell, we're going to give it to you. You know? Yeah. So, you know, once he did that, I was like, man, oh, man, you know, it's all good. Now I can stay in Dallas, you know, everything great.
Yeah.
You know, so this time came around, you know, and I was like, shit, I kind of did my own deal last time. So, like, don't sit here and wait deep into, you know, free agency, you know, to go and talk to him and let him know, like, this is what I want, you know. And also, like, I ain't taking nothing else for, you know, or you're gonna have to let me walk for real this time, you know. So I went up there and seen him. He was like, you know, all right, we're gonna try to get close to your number, you know. Like, so don't get mad at me. You know we good, but don't get mad at me if you see a number, you know, or something that you don't like. Mm-hmm. Or whatever. So I was like, all right, I got you. So he sent me over a number and I'm like, man, what is this shit, bro? Like, like, why are y'all sitting here playing with me? You know, understanding, like, shoot, I got a family to raise, you know, like, shoot, I'm not going to sit here and be transporting my family all across the world, you know, just because of my profession. You feel me? So I was like, all right, bet. I'm going to just have to send all of them an email. And let them know.
Hey, Tang, what was the first number?
You don't want to know, man. It's disrespectful. I feel like it's disrespectful to me and also disrespectful for what I did, you know, for the Dallas Cowboys.
We know what you finally got, you know, because yeah. It's out. So what was let us hear the number. What that number was?
One year, $10 million.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you did a great job in negotiating a better deal based on what you got. And for our listeners and viewers don't know exactly what Tank just received, you can go ahead and find out easily. But yeah, wow. So yeah, you told him it was disrespectful, and then what happened?
Yeah, I felt like it was disrespectful. And, you know, I told him, like, hey, man, you know, Cowboys did a lot for me. I thank y'all for everything y'all done. But, you know, I think it's time for us to part ways. I wish that y'all cut me, you know, and you know, Steven's like, all right, you know, I'm about to bring your offer to Jerry, you know, see what he says. But I'm pretty sure, you know, he's going to be pretty pissed about it because he just gave you 65 mil. So my response was, like, he ain't give me shit, you know, like, I earned it.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So if Jerry wants to keep me here, like, he has to understand that this is what I'm worth. And plus, I'm actually showing love and helping y'all out. You know what I mean? Like, by offering y'all the relief and cap space, you know, by doing this deal with me. So, like, let's go out here and let's have a fruitful, you know, free agency, you know, pick up the guys that we need in order to win a Super Bowl, you know, because if I ain't getting this number, I won't be here to help.
Yeah.
You know, and shoot, Jerry's like, man, shoot, D-Law been faithful to us for the last 7-8 years. Like, give him his damn money.
Jerry came in and got it straight, huh?
Jerry came and got it straight, man. Appreciate you, Jerry. Appreciate you, Steven, man. You know.
They need to start calling Jerry the Candy Man, boy. He makes sure everybody get paid.
Candy.
Absolutely.
No question. And for our listeners and viewers that might not know this regarding DeMarcus and his career so far, he's the only defensive end to have his last 7 years financially guaranteed. Mm. That's almost unheard of. So hats off to you and the job that you've done to be able to put out a product that will warrant guaranteed money over the last 7 years. So you've been doing a heck of a job. And not to mention, you're doing a great job negotiating as well.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So now let's go ahead and transition to the current group of guys defensively that you play alongside. Last year, I called this draft pick for you guys in the first round. You guys drafted Micah Parsons. Outstanding, great rookie season, one of the all-time great seasons for a rookie defensively. But what impressed you the most with Parsons, and where can he continue to grow to develop his game to be one of the all-time greats, you think?
I say what impressed me the most is him being so dual threat, being able to play linebacker and DN.
Mm-hmm.
That is very slim to rare, you know, being able to play middle linebacker, control the defense, and also step down there and put your hand in the dirt and actually, you know, be effective and good at it. You know what I mean? So being able to see him do both, you know, in training camp, you know, and he's going against, you know, one of the best and, you know, working him, you feel me? And I'm like, this cat is actually good, but I mean, shoot, man, that boy got the whole package. Speed, you know, agility, the bend. But what I also feel like he can get better on is using his hands and his pass rush,
mm-hmm.
you know, and understanding that he's faster than the guy in front of him, but also understanding, you know, once he speed him up, he can go speed to power. You know, I put them on their butt. You feel me?
Hey. So I want you to put your coach hat on. A lot of our listeners and viewers might not know what speed to power is, right? Can you break that down? Speed to power.
Yeah. Speed to power is getting off the ball as fast as you can, trying to make the – so for the listeners, we look at offensive linemen as defensive backs.
Mm-hmm.
We look at DNs as wide receivers. All right?
That's a good way of putting it.
All right, so we trying to speed the offensive lineman feet up, make him backpedal as fast as he can so we can stab that inside shoulder, you know, and catch him off balance while he's backpedaling to sit him down,
mm-hmm.
you know. So that's what we call speed to power. And the same thing goes for wide receivers when they trying to, you know, make a receiver sit down. You know, they do the stutter.
Yep.
You feel me? So stutter go or whatever. So being able to, you know what I'm saying, transition those mechanics and use them, like, you know, he'll be good. Michael Parsons would be pretty good because he'll be able to play DB too.
I mean, he ran 4.3, so ain't too much he can't play.
I'm telling you.
Yeah. Hey, I like that. That's a unique way of breaking it down, though, Tank. That's a great job how you broke that down, looking at the difference in positions, because, yes, wide receivers try to threaten our toes to kind of get us off balance. They hit us with a move to go around. You guys do the same thing when you line up on offensive linemen. So great way of breaking that down.
Hey, real quick, talking about Michael Parsons, that Washington game, I can't remember who we was playing, but we had a night game.
That was a Sunday night game. Oh, Pat P.
Ooh.
That was that when they beat up on Washington?
No, no. It was the day game. They was in Washington.
Oh, that was a day game. Oh,
yeah. I think that was late in the year.
No, the late in the year game was a Sunday night. Because okay, the reason why I remember that Sunday night
game. It was the first game.
Yeah, they played Washington. Yeah. Because Tank defense. Tank, y'all had a heck of a game defensively, but it screwed up my fantasy playoff hopes. I lost. I ain't getting the playoffs because y'all beat up on the Cowboys. I was playing against the Cowboys defense. Y'all scored almost 30 points in fantasy. Man, I'm still hot about that. When you got that fumble, did you score a touchdown on the fumble?
I think Randy.
That was Randy.
Randy caught a pick.
The pick and scored a touchdown.
And DA scored the touchdown, the fumble the touchdown. Mm-hmm. Micah had two sacks.
And a sack.
I had a sack force fumble.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Trayvon, shoot. Ain't no telling. He probably did something.
I think he had two picks. He got a pick the first game. Man, I'm playing against the Cowboys defense in fantasy football. I got a substantial lead before y'all kick off that Sunday night game. I'm up by like 20 points. I say, man, I know Cowboys going to beat them up, but they ain't going to beat them up that bad. I'm good. The pot fantasy pot by almost $5,000 to get in the playoffs. I got to get in there. Man, I'm looking at the game. The first play, pick Trayvon Diggs. I say, what the freak Heineke doing? Next play, sack fumble. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Man, when that touchdown, man, Pat P, man, they scored that defensive touchdown, man. I almost threw my remote control through the wall, man.
You knew it was over then, huh? Like that.
What'd you say, Tank?
I said, you knew it was over then, huh? It was too many points by then, huh?
Man, listen, I was trying to get that pot. That pot was heavy. I can't even get in the playoffs because y'all beat up on Washington like that, man. Taylor Heineke. I keep messing up the name.
So what make you go against the Cowboys defense?
No, what happened was the guy I was playing against had y'all defense.
Oh, okay.
So he had y'all defense in his lineup. But I'm thinking, granted, at that time, y'all was rolling. Washington, you know how it was. They was inconsistent.
High quarterbacks.
I didn't expect for y'all to score 30 points.
In three plays.
Right.
Yeah, basically in three plays. I ain't expect that, man. I lost out on a good pot, man. My vert looking sick, like Trick used to say, man. I think I lost out on
that. And that's what I spoke on earlier, you know, with Von Miller, you know, if he's able to, you know, join the band, you know what I'm saying? Being able to, you know, piggyback off of each other's success and, you know what I'm saying? That makes you more hungry. Like, shoot, I'm a dog out here too. Like,
right.
My boy out here balling, shoot. I got to get me one. You know what I mean? So, being able to see the guys, you know, ball out, shoot, don't do nothing but make everybody else around us better.
Yeah.
So, tell me this real quick. How important was Dan Quinn last year to this defense? And also, how important it is knowing that he's coming back in 2022, knowing that he had head coaching opportunities?
Yeah, man. You know, shout out to DQ, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and that's one of the main reasons why I wanted to come back, too. You know, Pat, as you know, shoot, man, you only get, you know, a certain amount of special coaches in the league. No, you know what I'm saying? Coaches that, you know, mean what they say, are true leaders, you know, and plus also guys you through the process. I don't have two great defensive coordinators and Rob Marinelli and, you know, now DQ. Mm-hmm. And, you know what I'm saying? Being able to see both of them styles and, you know, how Rod is, you know, more demanding and, you know, pushing you, you know, out on the field, but also like philosophically, like a God, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, he'll put the right words in your ear, you know, to make you go out there and think you're really a warrior, you know? So, you know, being able to be on the DQ and, you know, also see those similarities of, you know, how he builds the guys up to be warriors and, you know, also, you know, guides us on the field and, you know, takes us through the training routines, you know, as a D coordinator, you know, most D coordinators just sit back and, you know, watch their guys work instead of being out there, you know, in the dirt with you, you know, working, making sure you out there bending your knees, getting better and so forth. So, Man, I'm just glad, you know, that I got a true leader, you know, as a D coordinator.
Yeah. Well, let's take a look at the NFC. Russ left. Rodgers is back. Brady is back. Where do you feel the Cowboys fit after all the offseason moves so far when you look at some of the playoff caliber teams in the NFC?
Well, you know, I know for sure we ain't going nowhere. And that's the main thing. Really can't tell you how teams looking right now. I know a lot of teams losing pieces and also gaining pieces, but
yep.
And at the end of the day, Jacksonville looking pretty good right now. You feel me? You know, so, you know, we don't know who playoff caliber teams at the moment. It's all about, you know, just working the offseason and, you know, building the complete team, because it's going to be a lot of new guys, especially with the draft.
No question.
Yeah, I can see that. What you guys, what you think you guys got to do to get over that playoff hump?
I think we got to do a lot. Discipline, more discipline, being able to understand the situations, and also, you know, being able to stay mindful that the game levels are going to change, but we can't change, you know, being able to stay neutral, you know, through that process of the 60 minutes that we're out there. Also just feeding off each other energy, you know, I feel like, you know, some situations be too big for certain men, you know what I mean? And, you know, as a Dallas Cowboy, everybody in the every world wants you to,
I said, as a Dallas Cowboy, every moment big.
You feel me? As a Dallas Cowboy, every moment big, and everybody wants you to fail. So you already know, Pat, like, being able to come to Dallas and play, you like, shoot, man, I got to make sure I cross this off the list. We got to beat the Dallas Cowboys no matter what. You know what I mean? And that's how everybody feels. So, you know, for us, like, if we ain't bringing our A game, you know, every time, like, shoot, it's going to be a bad day, you know? Right.
Hey, well, Tank, before we let you go, we got a few questions we're going to hit you with. We're going to transition to our superlative part of the show, right? So rapid fire questions. We want your honest, unbiased answer. First question I have for you. Best part about playing for the Cowboys, and what's the worst part?
The best part is, you know, the love and support from the fans. You know, them understanding, like, it's Cowboys since day one, and, you know, it's Cowboys till we die. And, you know, being able to have those ride or die fans to support you and understand that you're trying to bring a Super Bowl back to the city, you don't get no better. But the worst thing, I feel, the fans.
They're the best and the worst things.
Oh, yeah.
I feel you on that one. Best defensive player that you ever played with?
Best defensive player I ever played with, I gotta say Michael Parsons now.
Already?
You know, yeah, man. Being able to, you know, play with a defensive rookie of the year, but also being able to have that type of talent and be that type of caliber player, you know, it's dope. So, you know, Michael Parsons, I got to go with Michael Parsons. Like, you got to understand Aaron Donald was, you know, defensive player of the year. Rookie of the year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I feel like, you know, he's one of those caliber players. And we ain't seen a linebacker like this for a long time.
No question. So, most hated team in your division. You got the Eagles. You got the Commanders. I got to get used to saying that. Commanders and the Giants. Who do you hate the most and why?
Who do I hate the most? It got to be the Eagles first. Eagles first is because, you know, Eagles always find a way to have a good team. And being able to see the Eagles win the Super Bowl before me, it's like. It's like, how in the hell did this happen, and what year did this happen? Because it happened, but I just cannot remember it. And who was the quarterback? Because I know Carson Wentz did not win a Super Bowl. You know what I mean? So, you know, like, you know, being able to, you know, play the Eagles every year, that definitely resonates with me. Uh-huh. And so they definitely met. But I got family in Philly, too. So my family, Dallas Cowboys fans. And, you know, when I go out there, they always give me a home-cooked meal. And, shoot, we always talk junk to, you know, the whole city of Philly. It'd be a good time.
That's what's up, man. My last one I got for you before we let you get back to your family. Your favorite sack of your career?
Favorite sack has to be the rookie sack. But that got to be number one. And then my playoff sack against Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. You know, and shoot, I say the rookie sack against Detroit.
You know, playoffs.
It was huge. Yeah, it was huge for me because, you know, on that big stage and being able to make that play as a rookie to seal the game, you know, after I made that big play to lose the game as a rookie, I mean, it was sensational, man. And shoot, I feel like at that moment, I seen, like, what my career can be as a Cowboy.
That's big, man.
Well said. Well said. Well, hey, Tank, man. Number one, thank you for joining us. All things covered. I know Cowboy Nation is going to love this episode. Newly paid. As my uncle used to say, get that handsome ransom. Boy, you got that handsome ransom from Jarrah. Newly paid DeMarcus Lawrence joined us here. 8-year pro, 2-time pro bowler. Go ahead and get, well, you at 48 and a half sacks. So go ahead and surpass that 50 number.
Yeah, that's coming up
easily.
Too.
Go ahead and
indeed,
surpass
it. But man,
I can tell you this much, Tank. Listen, all I ask for y'all, if I happen to play against y'all this year in fantasy, man, don't go score 30 points against me, man.
It's
Let me get in the playoff.
You already know the arsenal that we got, so you might as well go ahead and try to pick us first before you got to play against us.
Hey, no question. Not to mention, like you said, man, y'all might add another dynamic piece to that defense,
yeah,
and Mr. Von Miller. So, whew, look out, Philly. Look out, Washington. Look out, the Giants. But, Tank, man, thank you for joining us, man. Best of luck to you this upcoming season. And enjoy your family. Enjoy your vacation. Your new vacation coming up. Go ahead and have fun.
Yes, sir.
All right, take care.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.